Please open your Bible and join me in Exodus chapter number 40. And I want you to keep in mind that we're now going to have information coming in from the book of Numbers, because both books tell us about the setting up for the first time and dedication of the tabernacle of God. And it's happening on the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus. For our purposes, we're talking about the middle of April of 1455 BC. Chapter number 40 of Exodus tells us that God gave a specific order of setting things up for the first time. And this is the way he described it. He who is said to Moses, on the first day of the first month, you shall erect the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So that's the three-sided framework draped over by its different layers of drapes. Once that shrine building is up, and it wouldn't take very long for a whole bunch of Levites and priests to snap all of this together and drape everything together. Once you have that in place, verse 3, you shall put in it the Ark of the Testimony, or the throne of God, the sedan chair of God, which is going to always have the projecting poles coming into the holy place out front of the most holy place, which is where the Ark itself will be located. It's a 10 by 10 by 10 cubit cube at the back of this tabernacle shrine building. And so once you have the ark where it belongs, you shall screen the ark with the veil. And so there'll be four posts that are across the dividing line. And the ark is going to have its two poles projecting between the two inside, or closer to the middle of the tabernacle room, poles. And so that veil, after it's put in place, will drape down over those projecting poles. Verse number 4, you shall bring in the table, that's the table of the bread of the presence, and arrange it up, and then you shall bring in the lampstand, put it in up its lamps, set its lamps up. So the bread of presence table goes off to the right side as we're looking at the most holy place. And the menorah with its seven branches, it goes over on the left side. And then, verse 5, you shall put up the golden altar for incense before the Ark of the Testimony. And all three of these items that we've just mentioned have carrying poles, just like the Ark of the Covenant. But while the Ark of the Covenant poles are specifically always left in place, these poles are removed. And I told you my suspicion that because they are holy, because they have no purpose other than to move these items around when the tabernacle is moved from place to place, I suspect that these carrying poles are just simply put off to the side of the most holy place between use. Now, the golden altar of incense is set up before the Ark of the Testimony, which means it's going to be right up against the veil, the dividing veil, and it will be immediately between the two projecting carrying poles of God's portable throne. And there will only be clearance about as wide as a man's hips on each side of the altar of incense. And the only time that that clearance, that path, will be used is on the day of Yom Kippur. That's the only day that the high priest goes into the most holy place. Now, let me throw this out for you to consider. I don't know whether or not the veil between the holy place and the most holy place is pulled up off of those projecting poles and attached on some hooks that are on the two pillars every time that the tabernacle is set up, so that when the priests are coming in to do their incense time, their prayer time each day, twice a day, they're looking right at the Ark of the Covenant. That's a possibility, I think. Or, here's the other possibility, the only time that that veil is lifted and hung on the hooks is on the day of Yom Kippur. Now, I am of two minds of that. That's why I give you two options. At this point in my study time, this point in my imagined life, I think it may have been open all the time. That each day the priest needed to look at the throne of God when he was offering the prayers on behalf of Israel. But that's just my opinion. I would be interested in hearing from some of you as to whether or not it was open all the time in your mind. Now, verse 7, first of all, said that you put the screen at the front. There were five pillars in the front that helped this screen be defined. I think it was definitely opened up each day at the beginning of the day so that the priests didn't have to keep bringing the veil up and down to go in and out of the tabernacle. So they set that outer screen up, and then, this is where we had to stop last time, then they start setting the things up out in the forecourt. You shall set the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Now, some people are thinking that the door that's mentioned here is the door to the shrine building. I disagree. I think it's actually a reference to the front door of the tabernacle courtyard, because we know that the altar of burnt offering is there for sacrifice, where people are coming in the front gate, the front door of the courtyard, in order to meet with priests to have sacrifices made on their behalf. And so that's why the first thing you see as you come in that front gate is the big bronze altar. And then it says, and place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Now, this is a big water tank. It's not some like little ornate bird bath. It's not some sort of basin that you might see as a basin sink in a bathroom. This is a big water tank. The word that's used in Hebrew is actually about a great big smelting cauldron that you use to make a whole bunch of metal in liquid form at once. And so this is a bunch of water. It sits up on some sort of stand. I don't know how tall the stand is. But this is the place that the priests have to go to between sacrifices. They have to cleanse their hands and their feet between each sacrifice they meet that they make during the day. They have to cleanse their hands and feet before they go into the tabernacle building for the incense offering times in the morning and in the evening. And so that's what this water tank is all about. You've heard me suggest that it's possible that the priests that were being ordained were actually immersed in this water tank before they began their service, because we know that the book of Leviticus says that they have to be fully washed whenever they become priests for the very first time. And so we now have everything in place exactly where it's supposed to be. Verse 8, and you shall set up the court all around. So that's kind of the last thing that's put in place, is the fabric fence, and then hang up the screen for the gate of the court. That's the place where everybody has to go through in order to come to this worship site. And then, once he has all this up on the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus, he has to start dedicating it. And this is part of the dedication ceremony. Verse number 9. Then you shall take the anointing oil, which we had the special formula for already, and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and consecrate it and all its furniture so that it may become holy. So now Moses, because he's the officiating dedicator, he's not going to be the priest. That will be his brother Aaron, who becomes the priest for the tabernacle. But Moses is God's servant in getting all of this set up for the very first time. So he is holy, having been in God's presence, and so he takes the anointing oil, he goes into the tabernacle building, he smears a little bit of this anointing oil on everything, on the Ark of the Covenant, on the table of the bread of presence, on the menorah, on the altar of incense. He smears it on the framework of the tabernacle three-sided structure. He puts it onto the different layers of drape that are over that structure. And then he goes outside. Verse number 10, you shall also anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. So he's touching a little bit of this oil, just a representative sample of it, to the big altar and all of the things that are used with that altar, and consecrate the altar. The word consecrate here is the idea of make it holy, that is, set it aside, so that the altar may become most holy. You shall also anoint the basin and its stand and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and shall wash them with water. Now, this is the thing I was just mentioning a while ago. I don't know whether that means that they were immersed. It's possible. But certainly, their whole body was washed with water to symbolize that they are being completely cleaned up to start their life as priests. And you can actually see in Leviticus chapter 8, I'm not going to read it for you, I want you to read it for yourself, all the details as to how this ceremony goes. I will summarize it for you. So the first step is you wash them with water. And then you put on Aaron the holy garments, that is, the special uniform of the high priest. His sons are also going to be put in their special uniforms. And so now they've been washed, now they've been dressed, and then verse 13 goes on to say, you shall anoint him and consecrate him that he may serve me as priest. Now, the ceremony for the priest being set aside involves a couple of other items. That is, a sacrifice is made on their behalf, and blood is collected from the cutting of that animal's throat. And that blood is then taken by Moses. Remember, that's who's going to be doing it. And he takes a little bit of that blood and he smears it on Aaron's ear, his right earlobe. And he does the same apparently for his nephews, the two helper priests that are going to be involved in this. And then he takes a little bit more of that blood and he smears it on their right thumb. And then he takes a little bit more of that blood and he smears it on their right big toe. And I talked about when we were going over this before that the ear is what you hear and obey with. So all the priests are being told, you must hear and obey whatever God tells you. The thumb is what allows us to grab a hold of things. And so this is going to symbolize that he is now dedicated to take hold of things for God and do it. And then the foot is what you use to walk with, which is a symbol for living. And so that means that Aaron and his sons are being dedicated to the idea that they will go wherever God wants them to go, and they will live the way God wants them to live. And so that's all happening here at the same time. And then they're going to pour, that is, Moses is going to pour this holy anointing oil on the head of the uniformed priest. That means it's going to go on his little turban with the name of God on the top. And there's actually a psalm that describes this, that the holy oil runs down off of his head into his beard and drips down onto his robes, and that that is a special blessing symbol for Aaron and also for his priest sons. Everything's going to smell very cinnamony, because that is the base spice smell of this holy anointing oil. So by this, verse 13 continues, you shall anoint him and consecrate him that he may serve me as priest. So first order of business as they set this thing up in the morning, and I think they probably started setting it up at sunrise, and it would have taken them a few hours, probably not more than two or three, to get everything in place. And then Moses starts on this ceremony of anointing all the inanimate objects. And now he's anointing his brother Aaron and his nephews as the living priests of God. And he's anointing the clothing that they are wearing as priests, which these bits of clothing will be passed down to other priests after them. So verse 14, you shall bring his sons also, put coats on them, and anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may serve me as priests. So I've already talked about how they had this ceremony done to them just like to their dad. And their anointing shall admit them to a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. So the priesthood of Aaron is now a thing for the Israeli people. Previous to this, probably at first in history, the father figure in each family functioned as the priest. Think about how Abraham functioned as a priest in his family, did the sacrifices, then Isaac, then Jacob did it for his family. So kind of the patriarch originally was the priest of a family unit. Then later, more than likely, one of the sons would be designated as a priest figure within the family. That familial idea of priesthood in each family is going to be terminated now for the Israeli people. A family group specifically will be set aside to do the priest duties for everybody in Israel. And that family group will be Aaron's descendants. And that remained in place until Jesus came along as the priest of the order of Melchizedek. And by his own death and resurrection, he superseded the Aaronic priesthood. That's all the book of Hebrews. So, verse 16, this Moses did according to all that he who has commanded him, so he did in the first month of the second year. On the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. And then we have a repeat of all the things we just read. So we're not going to repeat it for ourselves. We're going to skip down to the end, verse number 33. And he erected the court around the tabernacle and the altar and set up the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work. So I believe all of that was more than likely completed by the middle of the morning. And then we move to the dedication ceremony. And this is where we need to pull some stuff from Numbers chapter 7. Numbers chapter 7. You may remember that in past sessions, I have mentioned that every time a tabernacle or a temple of the Jews is dedicated, the dedication of the altar, that is the sacrificial altar, involves 7 days of dedicatory activities. And then on the eighth day of the dedication ceremony, it reaches its culmination, its peak. This is the day on which everything brings the altar online officially for God. This is the real reason why Hanukkah is 8 days long, because it took Judas the Hammerer, Judas Maccabee, 8 days to complete the ceremonies to bring the Jewish altar back online after it had been desolated 3 years earlier by the Greeks and the renegade Jews. And so there are ceremonies that go on each of the days of the dedication week. And so here is the description of those ceremonies starting in Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. On the day when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle and anointed it and consecrated it with all its furnishings and had anointed and consecrated the altar with all its utensils, so we know what day that is. That's the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus. Verse 2, the chiefs of Israel, heads of their fathers' houses, who were chiefs of the tribes, who were over those who were listed, approached and brought their offerings before he who is. 6 wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for every 2 of the chiefs, and for each one an ox. They brought them before the tabernacle. So what we find out here is that all 12 tribes, that's not going to include the tribe of Levi, because the tribe of Levi is going to be the service tribe. They are going to be the ones receiving these gifts. So the 12 tribes of Israel are going to each one participate in the dedication of this tabernacle by giving a specific gift to be used in the service of the tabernacle. And so here is the first gift described. They brought each of these before the tabernacle. Verse 4, then he who is said to Moses, accept these from them, that they may be used in the service of the tent of meeting, and give them to the Levites, to each man according to his service. And so Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. Now, we haven't got there yet. We're going to get there quick. The Levites are going to be in charge of transporting the elements of the tabernacle from place to place. The things that have carrying poles must be carried on the shoulders. But everything else, like the frame elements, the frame pieces of the tabernacle structure, the drapes, the poles, the feet, the pegs, the ropes, the bars, everything else is going to be collected up, folded up, and accounted for as they are placed in wagons that will be oxen drawn from the current camp to the next camping site. And so that's why these wagons are being donated. That's why these oxen are being donated by the tribes, because these are going to be the holy transportation devices. So verse number 7, two wagons and four oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service, and four wagons and eight oxen he gave to the sons of Merari according to their service under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But to the sons of Kohat he gave none, because they were charged with the service of the holy things that had to be carried on the shoulder. So they won't need wagons to do their job. And the chiefs, that's the chiefs of the different tribes, offered offerings for the dedication of the altar on the day it was anointed. And the chiefs offered their altar offering before the altar. And he who is said to Moses, they shall offer their offerings one chief each day for the dedication of the altar. Now this is day one, remember, of the dedication ceremony. This is who offers the offering that day. Verse 12, he who offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab of the tribe of Judah. That is an ancestor of David. That is an ancestor of Jesus. His offering was one silver plate, which weighed 130 shekels, a silver basin of 70 shekels. And I can see already, because of my clock, we're not going to get through this list. But this list is exactly what each leader of each tribe offers all 12 days of the full dedication of the tabernacle.